Go live. Well, this has been a powerful morning, amen? Very powerful morning. It's good to be here. You know, there's a lot of challenges coming up this week. There's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear, I'm sure. But we know God is God, amen? And we know He's here for us, and we know that He hears our prayers. And we are well into the month of November, and the Christmas lights are already going up. What holiday is actually coming up next? Does anybody know? Thanksgiving, exactly. Thanksgiving's coming up. And Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays for obvious reasons. I just really like parades, right? But it's coming up, and next week you have the pleasure of hearing Mike Kwan. We're going to be out of town, so I wanted to preach about Thanksgiving this week. I know it's still a couple of weeks away. But what do you think of when you think about Thanksgiving? We think of eating, right? We think of football. We think of a long weekend off from work. Shopping that starts at 2 o'clock on Thanksgiving afternoon, right? We think about history, maybe. We think about family. And Thanksgiving is all of these things, but it's far more than that, isn't it? You know, it's far more than just a day set aside in November every year, because for God's people, Thanksgiving Day is every day. Amen? Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate any battles. It doesn't commemorate anyone's birthday. But it's simply a day set aside to express thanksgiving to God. Way back in 1789, President Washington made this public proclamation. He said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor." And he recommended and assigned that Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, to be a national day of thanksgiving. But even before President Washington made this proclamation, we know in the year 1621, who had a Thanksgiving meal? The Pilgrims and the Indians had a Thanksgiving meal long before Washington's proclamation, 1789. But long before the Pilgrims and the Indians in 1621, we know way back in the Old Testament, we read of people giving thanks to God, don't we? Psalm 100 is a song of thanksgiving, and it's an invitation for all people to come together and to join together and acknowledge that God has done great things. It's an opportunity to praise God and be thankful. It also describes to us the nature of thanksgiving. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving grateful praise. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Let's look at five keys or five words that describe the essence of thanksgiving that we find in Psalm 100. And the first word is joy. Who here likes joy? A few hands don't go up, but most everybody does, right? Psalm 100 verse 1 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." Joy is defined as an emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Now, I don't have a bit of problem going to a football game and shouting for joy when my team scores, right? Go Herd, amen, go Herd, right? But very seldom do we raise our voices for joy in church. Have you thought about that? I mean, our lives are meant to be a joyful call to God. God wants us to be excited about who He is, doesn't He? If we can't be excited about that, what's there to be excited about? He wants us to be excited and joyful about what He's done for us. And that's more exciting than the Browns winning a football game, even though that's rare, and even though we know what happened Thursday night, right? That was a wild one. But do I shout about my victory in Christ? You guys who have kids and grandkids that play sporting events, when they score, you're in the bleachers shouting and screaming for joy. But do we do that when we consider our victory in Christ? Psalm 100 tells us to be thankful with joy. You know, this past week I was flipping through the channels late at night, and I came across an old video clip of New York City at the end of World War II. And people had just found out the war had ended, and they rushed out into the streets, and it was a video of just pure joy and celebration and excitement because the battle had been won. What about this spiritual battle that we're in? We've read the end of the book, right? Who's won? We have. For Christians, we've won. We know we've won the battle through Jesus. We know who has the victory. And we need to praise God for that and shout joyfully because the battle's been won and we win if we remain faithful. We need to be filled with joy and shout about that. That's a key to Thanksgiving. The second word in Psalm 100 is gladness. Psalm 100 verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Now, there's a huge difference between gladness and sadness, right? We get that. A huge difference. Gladness, of course, is defined as experiencing pleasure, joy, or delight, being made happy. When we come before the Lord, we bring a lot of stuff with us, don't we? We got a lot of things we deal with, a lot of baggage that we carry around. Some weeks we have more than other weeks. Some weeks we feel weighted down by the world and by struggles. But you know, when we come before the Lord, no matter what's going on in our lives, we can still do so with gladness, can't we? We can still do so with thanksgiving. Sometimes we come to church and it looks almost like a funeral service instead of a resurrection service. But we're here because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? We are here because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? All right, there we go. That should bring us gladness in our hearts. Our Lord is risen from the dead. Familiar words we all know. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. At just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. And if we have no other reason to be glad this morning, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God dwells in your heart. We can find gladness in that, even though circumstances are less than ideal. Gladness is a key. It's a key element, a key word to thanksgiving. The third word is dependence. Dependence is defined as the quality or state of being influenced or determined by or subject to another. And you won't find the word dependence in the text of Psalm 100, but you'll certainly see the principle. We see three roles of God talked about in Psalm 100 verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. This verse shows us three roles of God, and it helps us understand our dependence on Him. First of all, we see here God is Lord. When we become Christians, we make Him ruler of our lives, don't we? We make Him the boss. We make Him the master. And when we do that, we have to recognize God is God, and I'm not, right? We won't always understand everything. But God told Moses in Exodus 3:14, He says, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Church, we have no more power over God than we do the weather. Who here would like to have power over the weather? Let's be honest. Perfect world, you get any wish you want. Would you like to have power over the weather? All right? Now, Christy likes snow. and Michelle hates winter. So what would happen immediately, right? It'd be a mess, wouldn't it? It would be a mess if we all collectively had power over the weather. At the end of the day, when you consider all that, I'm thankful we don't have power over the weather. Amen? We have no more power over the weather or over God than we do the weather. So when we are looking for God to act in our lives, we've got to recognize He's God and I'm not. He knows the end of the story. Whatever struggle I'm going through, He's already on the other side of it, and He knows everything in between. And He says, trust me. Be dependent upon me. God is God, and I'm not. Second role we see here in Psalm 100, verse 3, God is the creator. Now, if you create something, you are greater than that which you've created, right? And if you create something, you have every right over the things that you've created. That's why we have copyright laws and patent laws, right? If I could create something and somebody could just steal it from me and I wouldn't have any rights to it, you think I'd ever want to create anything? No. We have laws to protect ourselves there. God is our creator. He has all power and every right over the things, us, that He's made. Psalm 103 in part says, it is He who made us, and we are His. We're dependent on Him, church. He created us. You ever go through something and feel like no one understands what you're dealing with? Been there. God does. He created you. He knows everything about you. He knows every thought you have even before you do. And He knows every struggle and every cry because He created you. We're dependent on Him. Let's be thankful for that. And the third role, God is shepherd. Again, the last part of Psalm 100 verse 3 says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. What does a shepherd do for the sheep? A shepherd does absolutely everything for the sheep except grow the wool, right? Can we agree with that? They lead them to places of safety. They protect them. They make sure there's plenty of food. They make sure they have opportunities to rest. They make sure the enemy stays away. God guides us, church, to places of security, to places where we have plenty, and to places where we can rest. We all know Psalm 23, first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Any souls need refresh today? God the shepherd will do that and does do that. I read a poem that says, if we are created, He is the creator. If we are sheep, He is our shepherd. If we enter His courts, He is our king. If we serve Him, He is our master. We're dependent on God. Everything we have is because of Him. Even the air we're breathing right now in this room, He created. He knows every hair on my head. And it's a lot easier. You make it easier on Him, some of you do, than others. But He knows every heartbeat. Let's be dependent on Him and be thankful that we can be. Because the reality is, church, we are all dependent on God whether we recognize it or not. But it's when we recognize it that we can truly experience the freedom He wants to give us. The fourth word or key, of course, is thankfulness. You can't give thanks unless you're thankful, right? You can't give a forced thanks. You have to be thankful before you can express thanksgiving. Thankfulness is defined as being aware of benefits received, being well pleased and glad. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Thanksgiving is what flows out of a heart that's thankful. In Luke chapter 17, which G.A. read for us just a minute ago, we read a pretty interesting story there. Jesus enters this village, and when He enters this village, He sees 10 men who are lepers. Now, leprosy is a horrible, disgusting disease. And of course, if you're diagnosed with leprosy during these times, you have to go live in a colony with other lepers. So you have to leave your home, you have to leave your job, You have to leave your friends and your family, everything you've worked to build. You're basically plucked out of that life and sent to live in isolation with other people who suffer the same thing you're suffering. That's what these 10 men were dealing with. And Jesus is there, and they say, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And Jesus sees them, and what's he say? He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they hadn't been cleansed at that point, church. But Jesus says, "Go and do it." And we read that as they went along, they were cleansed. So they're already on their way. They're en route to doing what Jesus has told them to do. And they recognize they've been cured. Wow. Could you imagine that? All of a sudden, you recognize in a very miraculous way, you can go back to your home. You can go back to your family. You can go back to your job. You can go back to all the things you'd left. What am I going to do? I'm going to be pretty anxious to get back to that, right? Aren't you? And so we read that they go, but one guy doesn't keep going. What's he do? He comes back and he expresses his thankfulness to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, he says, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now, let's make this real to us, because Scripture's real, amen? Scripture's here for us to learn from and to apply. I've read this many times, and I often wonder in my mind, how could these 9 people be so ungrateful to Jesus that they'd just been cured that they refused to go back and thank him? How could they? Anybody else think that way? Anybody else get a little down on them, judgmental? All right. Well, let's make it real in our own lives. How many times a day does God bless me? 9 out of 10 times do I thank him? That's where it hits home for me. You know, I can be thankful when big things happen and I see the results of it. And, you know, oftentimes I'll thank God for that. But if you just step back and just assess one day and you see all the blessings God has given you in that day, we have countless reasons to be thankful. But do we see it? Do we see it? Folks, we need to be thankful to God for what he's done for us. He does so much. And that brings us to our fifth word, gratitude. Psalm 100, verse 5. "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." We see here the Lord is good. The Lord's mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. In Romans 11, verse 36, Paul is thanking God and he's praising God, and he writes, "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." You see, our praise, our thanksgiving, our worship needs to be directed to God. And gratitude is defined as the state of being grateful or thankful. Let's be thankful for what he's done. Because when we're thankful for what God has brought us through, it's going to make it awfully a whole lot easier to know we can rely on him for what we're going through right now. I want you to think about something with Psalm 100. Just short 5 verses. But think about how many times God is referred to, or how many times God is mentioned in this short little verse. I'll put it up on the screen, Jeremiah. Let's read this out loud together. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Amen, church. Amen. You see, this week, these next couple of weeks, this Thanksgiving season, with all the excitement and all the preparation, all the events that we'll go to, our challenge is be thankful to God. Be thankful with joy and gladness, with thankfulness and gratitude, and realize that your thanksgiving comes from a heart that's truly dependent on Him for everything. It's easy during this holiday season, especially right now, to focus on turkey and Santa Claus and all those things. But remember the true good about this season. Remember the reasons that you have to be thankful. Everyone should have received a printout of the 100th Psalm when you came in. Did everybody get one of these? If you didn't, there'll be some on the table when you leave. But I want you to take this with you this week. And I want you to put this on your refrigerator or put it on your desk or wherever you're going to see it multiple times a day. And if you live in a paperless world, take a picture of it with your iPhone and throw it away. But at least you'll have it wherever you are. And read it over and over. This is God's Word. Do whatever you got to do to keep it front and center. Because when you start counting the reasons you have to be thankful, guess what? You're going to find there's far more reasons than you could have ever imagined. Your list will grow and grow. And you know, God would never ask us to be thankful if we didn't have a reason to be. Have you thought about that? How does God know that I can be thankful? He knows because He has given me every reason to have a thankful heart. Does it mean life's good all the time? No. Does it mean things are tough? Yeah, they are. But despite all of that, can still have thankful hearts because your God has given you a chance to live with Him forever. He's given you a chance to go home. He's given you a chance to live with His Spirit in your heart here to remind you of these things and direct you along His paths when the world tries to come down on you. He's given us every reason we need to have a thankful heart. So keep this front and center. Do whatever you got to do to focus on this week. You know, if we want to be saved, Jesus says you got to be reborn. He says, come to Him. We know we want to repent and be baptized and be washed of our sins. It's in there that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we come up out of that water, church, we're brand new. We're saved. We're washed. We're not perfect. We'll still stumble a lot. But it means we're no longer in this life alone. We have God dwelling in us. We belong to a family that loves us and encourages us. Ed, I sure am thankful that God is kind to the unthankful, aren't you? Because we're all there sometimes. That's why we need each other, to bring each other along, to encourage each other. And that's one of the main reasons we're here today. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.